Hey everybody, welcome to another Rider Club Radio with your hosts, Jeff.
And Liam.
As always.
As usual.
And this week, a little bit of news, a little primer before the episode. Neither of us have watched the Juojer movie yet. And because our episodes are so completely cram-packed right now, we can't clock in under an hour anymore because we're covering so much content.
Well, it's not like we have to clock in under an hour. We haven't actually clocked in under an hour in a fucking year, but like
the regulations clearly state.
That's true. The contract says for every second you go over an hour, it's one lash.
And my back cannot take it anymore. I'll tell you that much.
It's just we're watching three shows, and one of which we watched three episodes of. But Fize is almost done, so when Fize is done, we're going to watch the Juojer movie, and we'll tell you what to think about it.
Like, I'm really... we'll tell you what to think about it. I'm really psyched to watch that movie because it looks amazing, but I'm going to hold off.
I might watch it anyways, and then just save my thoughts.
Yeah, I guess that's true. And we could always rewatch it later or whatever.
It's just right now, like, it was like we were talking about this earlier. Like, we just take a fucking day out of our week where it's like, okay, 2-3 hours of this day just watching Toku.
Yeah, and I love Toku, but I'm the type of person that watches it slowly, not like Liam slowly, but like normal person slowly, where I watch like maybe 2 episodes of Toku a week.
Yeah, I can't shotgun shows. I can't do that.
God, you can't even musket ball shows. But anyway, this week we watched Kamen Rider X8 episode 28, Kamen Rider Amazons episode 16, and Kamen Rider Fize episodes 40, 41, and 42. Whew!
You got them all right.
Yeah. Liam, why don't you drag your sick ass out of the emergency room where you've been staying.
Okay.
And tell us what happened on X-Aid this week.
Okay.
While I try really hard not to fall asleep.
For those of you who don't know, I am recording from the CR because I am ill this week. But I came to you to do this episode.
He's got the game illness.
I got the game sickness. This helps my stress, so I'm here.
Rider Club Radio is the main stressor in his life.
Yo, who do you think Jeff is? He's my fucking bugster. So as we saw
no,
last
no
episode,
bugster has ever laughed like that. I don't know why I did that.
There should be one.
Fucking generic cackling villain bugster.
I'm surprised Alhambra hasn't, or Fat Dan never. Oh well.
Anyway, what happened on this week's episode? Fat Dan was not in it, by the way.
That's true. That's a point against it. So this week, Emu surmises that since Poppy was happy that everything turned out okay last week, so he said, okay, that she's got to be good, right? There's got to be some good left in her. We're going to have to figure this out. But it's too late because a couple bugsters appear, Salty and Alhambra appear, and they go to fight them, and Poppy intervenes. Poppy again says, hey, you're not allowed to fight the bugsters. You're supposed to help them to kill the characters. She whoops everybody's ass, but Emu uses maximum max die maximum and rewrites her DNA to make her good again.
Which is like kind of cheap.
I'm going to talk about cheapness this episode. I was thinking about this all day today.
It's cheap as fuck, man.
Not just this, but yeah, he erases her and she says, "Oh gosh, ooh." She's like Chaser. Everyone's trying to program her to be whatever. So yeah, he erases her, makes her good again. She says, God, this feels weird. I'm good, but I don't know. Pallet is so pissed off about this, he takes her and teleports her back to base. And he tells her, hey, look, Poppy, you gotta kill humans, right? You're a bugster. You were born by killing a human. So, in for a penny,
she's
in for a pound.
She's like, what? What did I do?
What did I do? He's like, yeah, all bugsters kill people. You're not an exception. You stole someone's life. So there's no going back for you. So she's depressed about this. She hates herself. And she goes to watch Team Baron do a dance in the park. She wants to clear her head. So she goes and watches a little dance troupe doing a dance in the park. And some players catch her. They're like, it's Poppy. Let's kick her ass. She's like, no, I don't want to hurt people. And they're like, no, fuck you. We hate you. You're a bugster. They start kicking. There's a patient in this episode in the CR. He doesn't do shit though.
He just lays there. He's like, "Doc, you gotta defeat Poppy." And
I fucking hate Poppy.
And Emu's like, "No, I love Poppy." And he's like, "What?
What? She's a bugger.
You what, mate?"
He's there to illustrate that all the players hate Poppy, and Poppy is conflicted whether she should side with humans because humans hate her because she's a bugster. So
yeah, here's the problem with that. I know we're not supposed to be discussing until the fucking description's
not
over.
This isn't an ironclad.
When you murder people, they're probably not going to like you very much.
I mean, you think?
Maybe it's unfair. Maybe it's unfair judgment or whatever. But you were just trying to murder that man earlier in the fucking episode.
She was brainwashed, so. I like the guy's, he wears like a military fatigues and everything. He's like, "God, I played Kamen Rider Chronicle because I love survival games." And like, I feel like he's playing like the Long Dark or whatever on his computer. And he's like, "Yeah, this game where I can actually fucking die in real life is probably, it's like the ultimate survival game. I'll get that shit." He's a real hardcore dude.
Yeah, he's a real hardcore idiot.
That's true.
That's the thing about all the ride players is that they're all fucking redeemable shitheads.
I love that though, because they're all just goofballs. They just think it's a video game, so they treat it like a video game. They're idiots. I quite like that.
I would be a ride player.
Oh yeah, I would be just as dumb as the rest. I'd be like, "Oh, there's a special player, the Kamen Rider.
I'm gonna attack him. I got a fucking knife. My weapon's a knife.
I got a brown wooden gun. This should be fine against that man who's a human battleship."
It looks like a fucking like a revolver from it looks like a fucking flintlock pistol from the 1700s.
It's the Billy the Kid gun from Ghosts. They had it left over. They just fucking take it.
And their weapons are like flopping around because they're made out of cardboard. And they're like, "I'm gonna attack this fucking giant monster."
The worst thing about Kamen Rider Chronicle is you can't grind on bugsters to get better gear. Like the weak bugsters that you can actually beat, you can't beat them and get better gear. And even when you beat boss bugsters, you don't get better gear. You get these worthless Gacha trophies. How the fuck are you supposed to level up in this game?
You level up by attacking named characters, NPCs.
You can never beat them.
Just steal them. Just run up and grab them.
I guess you could do it.
That worked.
There is one named character who is 98 levels ahead of you at the start. What are you supposed to do there?
You run up and grab his shit and yank it off of him.
That's true.
It worked perfectly.
This game is bullshit.
It's a terrible game. I would return it within 2 hours to Steam and get my fucking refund.
That's true. So, where were we? So everyone's attacking Poppy. All these idiot ride players are attacking Poppy.
And Taiga shows up with Spencer's gifts, and they fucking attack Poppy.
Because she's a bugster, and he's gotta beat Kamen Rider Chronicle so he can get a chance at, he can get a shot at Graphite. So the two of them are fighting Poppy. And then, of course, since it's Xaid, the whole gang appears. Xaid and Brave both also appear.
Graphite apparently forgets his own plan in this episode. Because he's like, "I'm gonna go fucking fight him right now." And Parrot's like, "Didn't you have like a plan or something to like force Taiga to play the game?"
And
Graphite's like, "Oh yeah, I knew that. I was just joking."
I just wanted to see you knew. They all have a big fight, and Emu convinces Poppy. He says, Poppy like doesn't know. She's confused. She doesn't know if she wants to be good.
Yeah, she's not fighting back. Everybody's just like wrecking her shit.
Yeah,
and she's like going, "No, please!" And all of our heroes are just beating this little girl up.
Kamen Rider, everyone, the hero of justice.
They're just like wailing on her, and she's like, "Please, no, Nico-chan, no!" And Nico's like, "You fucking dirty bugster! I apparently hate bugsters a lot now. Fuck you!"
That's Snipe rubbing off on her.
I guess
she untransforms. And she's like, "I don't know if I'm evil or not." And Emu takes her gun and points it at himself. And he's like, "If you're evil, fucking kill me. Fucking shoot me right now. Blow my fucking brains out. Make my goddamn day. I swear to God."
And everybody's like, "Whoa."
Bobby's like, "Jesus Christ, no. Goddamn."
Everybody slowly backs away like, "Whoa, I didn't know it was going to go here."
Poppy throws... We joke about shit like that, but that actually happens in this episode. Yeah. Poppy smiles because she's so happy about Emu believing in her. Emu says, "I know you're good because you wouldn't shoot me." And Poppy smiles, And I guess that means the game is cleared, which cures everyone's game sickness that was infected by Poppy.
They literally say, like, how was the game cleared? And Tyga says, it's because Poppy smiled. And I was like, you know, I'm pretty sure that's not the fucking point of the game she's in. It's dancing.
After that, Palad was there the whole time. He just doesn't really do much. He's still there, and he's like,
no, Parrot is in this whole episode.
Parrot, right?
And he is absolutely hilarious. Because he keeps trying to fight Maximum Gamer X-Aid. And he can't hurt him whatsoever. He's like, pay attention to me. Play the game with me.
You play with Poppy. You don't play with me.
Why won't you play with me? And it keeps, like, cutting to Brave, who's noticing this. Mm-hmm. And nobody else notices that, like, he's completely obsessed with Emu.
Yeah. And the reason is, because at the underpass, at the end of the episode, Parrot reveals that he is Emu's Bugster.
Dun dun dun, that doesn't make any sense.
Dun, dun, la, ba, ba, ba. Jeff, what did you think of Kamen Rider X8 episode 28?
You know, I might get a lot of flack for this, right?
Okay.
A lot of our listeners might be unhappy with my ruling on this episode.
Okay.
I thought this episode was so full of contrived, convenient plot elements. And, like, no real stakes whatsoever.
Yeah.
I really didn't like this episode.
I think I liked it. I think it was middle of the road. I think I liked it more than you. I think it was middle of the road for me, but I understand exactly,
like,
what you mean.
I'm not angry about it or anything. It's not like I watched an episode of Ghost and I'm pissed or whatever.
Yeah.
I just... Somebody pointed out in the comments of a YouTube video, and I really wish I remembered who it was. I always think I'm going to write it down, and I don't, because I'm an asshole.
No credit for you.
But
your opinion's about to be stolen.
They said that Emu's just going to use his Maximum Gamer to rewrite Poppy and turn her good again, and I was like, fuck, you're right. But then I was like, in my heart of hearts, I was like, this show isn't that lazy, right? It'll actually have some sort of real plot behind it, right?
Nope.
Like, she'll have to, like choose between... Like, she'll slowly regain her memories or whatever and have to choose between Bugster and human. But no, she gets her fucking code rewritten to be her old self again, and she's just sad because people don't like her.
So here's the thing. There's that, which sucks. But what pissed me off more... was later on in the fucking episode when they make her smile and that cures everyone. That's fucking dumb. There was, like, I with the Juju Burger episode, I was fine, right? That episode was clearly an outlier. It didn't have shit to do with anything else. It was just an episode to promote some fucking McDonald's toys. And they make this burger appear and he dies later anyways. That's okay. It sucks, it's dumb, but I can live with it. With this, it felt so cheap and so... Like, when
it's like... They had, like, glimpses, right, of a really cool idea. Like, she's conflicted, right?
Mm.
Because she is a Bugster, and it's in her nature or whatever. But that's like being, like, I was born a Southerner, so maybe I'll fucking, like, shoot guns and fly a rebel flag. I don't want to, but I was born a Southerner, so I guess I have to. That's complete fucking horse shit.
Ugh.
Like, she was completely good before, but for some reason, like, I don't know, showing up and being like, I'm your navigator, if you don't, I'm gonna shoot you if you don't do the rules, and now she's like, fuck, maybe I'm evil!
God, it felt so good.
Maybe I'm a bad person. They could have gone more into that, right? Like, they didn't even, I think they mentioned twice in the entire episode that she had to kill someone to be alive.
Like, it might have been reprogramming, but that's in her. Like, that's just as valid as them programming her to be good. That could be an interesting angle with her character.
Yeah,
but they're
not going to do that.
No, of course not. They it feels like there's going to be a tough choice at the end because she's infected so many people, so you gotta kill her, right? But here's the thing, when you have a tough choice in fiction and then have an easy, simple solution where everybody wins just sort of float along out of nowhere, it's not cool. If Sophie's choice ended with Sophie tricking the Nazis into letting both of her kids live, it wouldn't be a good story. It's just dumb.
There's no satisfaction for the audience whatsoever. You build up this huge problem that needs to have a solution, and then you're like, oh wait, never mind, it's not a problem at all.
Just kidding. I guess the thing is, Maybe when you dance really good in Juju Burger or whatever game it is, Do-Re-Mi-Fa Beat.
Yeah.
Like, the better you do, the more she smiles. So if you can make her smile, that means you beat the game. That was my fucking mental gymnastics that I used to justify this Garbo. But it's still dumb. It's still just as dumb.
It's like, this episode wasn't terrible or anything, but it was just such a letdown.
It was kind of a letdown, because Poppy, like, you and I both loved her as the navigator. I kind of wish she had stuck in that role more.
Yeah.
Like, if that was status quo from here on for the next, I don't know, 10 episodes or so, I would like that quite a bit. But they undo it in the cheapest and easiest, most convenient way possible. I really didn't enjoy that.
No, I didn't either. And there's something very satisfying about this, like, cute, silly side character becoming, like, a super powerful villain that nobody can stop.
Yeah.
That's really... A lot of stuff could have been done with that would have been really great. And a lot of stuff could have been done with Poppy, like, struggling with the fact that she's, like, a bugster, and maybe, like, part of her wants to get revenge on humanity or something, because they are subjugated or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But there's absolutely no reason whatsoever she should be on the fence about it. And her reasoning for, like, oh, well, people are, like, afraid of bugsters. They hate bugsters. Well, bugsters are a fucking infectious disease. You've been trying to murder people. Of course they're afraid of you. It's like Jason being like, I don't know why these fucking camp counselors don't trust me.
Yeah, I'm just a man in a mask that keeps killing all their fucking campers. What's their problem? Jesus.
It was like there was a different writer in this episode. Suddenly everything was really, really convenient.
Poppy... Like, I look forward to them doing something interesting with her character, because it seemed like they were going to.
And then they didn't.
And then this whole episode is just a...
And I mean, there's, like, a forced sentimentality to it. Like, and, like, there's fake stakes. And, like, fake drama.
Fake stakes.
Built on the fact that, like, oh, she is unsure what to do, or who she is, or whatever, but, like...
It's really forced.
Why?
Yeah. For drama, of course.
Like, if they would have had even one single line about why she was on the fence, and that wasn't just, well, people don't like bugsters.
She's like, I killed someone to, like, I'm alive because someone's dead, and this means maybe I have to keep killing. I gotta keep killing until everything's right.
Yeah, it's like, you're not... There was no point in this episode where I was like, she might stay with the bugsters.
No.
Like,
never.
She might get herself killed or something, right? Because she hates the fact that she had to kill somebody to live. That might have been, like, a cool little stake or whatever, but they were playing it like she was going to stay with the bugsters, but it was really obvious that was never on the table.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Liam.
Why didn't Perry just program her back to being evil when they had her at the base? They can just program her, right?
This seems like a plot hole!
Anyone can just rewrite her program. Just make her evil again. Fuck. Why did you even bother having the rooftop conversation with her?
So here's...
Why didn't Perry shoot lightning out of his hands from wearing the Delta belt?
Fuck off. Here's the thing, right?
Okay.
Is that, like, she... She had a crisis of conscience or whatever, right? We can put that aside. There's another silly revelation in this episode, at least to me. And maybe the next episode will completely change my mind on it and I'll be on board. I think we joked earlier in the series that, like, Perid was Emu's bugster.
I vaguely remember one of us bringing that up. Maybe I'm full of shit. And it was probably a while ago, it was probably 25 weeks ago, but maybe one of us brought that up.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Like, but it doesn't make any sense.
Why is that?
Because Perid never goes into Emu's body. He's never, like, part of him. He's always separate. But Emu has, like, the split personality thing since the beginning of the series. While Perid has been around, even, he's done the split personality thing. How does that work?
I don't know. Maybe they'll explain it. I think it's too early to pass judgment on whether this makes sense.
That's what I'm saying.
Literally all he says is, I'm your bugster, and nothing else. So I think next episode we'll get more of a thing on that.
I'm not... passing this fucking justice here on it. I'm not, like, bringing the hammer down on it.
Okay.
I'm just saying that I really hope that they explain that in a better way.
I'm sure they will.
And they're not just like, he's been remotely bug-stirring him.
Every time he's a Genius Gamer M, it's like him controlling him with a joystick from the distance.
In the next episode, right, there's like a preview in the next episode of Mighty Brothers XX talking to each other, and one of them's Emu and the other one's Parrot.
Mm-hmm.
But Mighty Brothers XX, like, beat the shit out of Parrot once.
Don't ask questions.
I don't know.
We get to watch Poppy get fucking smacked.
Yeah.
This episode, which is great.
10 out of 10.
It's like he's punishing her for having a shitty episode.
Poppy is back in her normal place now. Sidekick comic relief. Oh boy.
Great. I missed Onari. Next episode is gonna be the fucking debut of Perfect Knockout too,
which is gonna be cool.
Looks like he's got a red and blue sun behind his face. Looks pretty all right.
I saw fan art of what I think is the final form in Xaid.
Oh no!
The funny part about that is that people don't even try to not send us spoilers. Like, they actively send us spoilers all the time.
No, I see all that shit, so I don't care. Like, but Jeff doesn't.
It doesn't bug me that much, but I'm always like, man, come on, guys. I didn't need to see that.
Most of the fan base looks at the scans, and it's just nothing to them. But, you know, some guys don't. It doesn't really bug me,
but it always cracks me up. Because I always talk about how I don't look at scans, and then people are like, oh, you don't look at them? Here's a photo.
Look at this. Emu's gonna die next episode. The scan
And he comes back 6 times.
He could, you know, with Kamen Rider the way it's been lately, I could see Emu dying once and coming back.
Yeah,
at some point.
That's been a trope now.
In the 30s, maybe.
Do you have anything else to say about this episode? I would give it like a D+.
No, I'd say 5.5, maybe a 6 out of 10.
It's like a D+.
In Canada, a 6 is a C. 60% is a C.
Wow, you guys are dumb.
Yeah, apparently.
The American system is weird, where, like, you get, like, up to, like, 60 is, like, an F or whatever.
Mm.
And then, like, 60 to 70 is, like, a D, and 70 to 80 is a C, and 80 to 90 is a B or whatever. And it's like, why is half your over half your fucking scale failing?
Yeah.
That's so weird.
In Canada, it's 0 to 50 is failure. 50 to 60, D. 60 to 70 is
C. Well, half your fucking scale is failing.
Yeah, not as much, though.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's just A is, there's 20 fucking units for A. 80 to 100 is A.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so strange.
It is strange. It's because so many people were getting A's, they had to stratify it more.
Probably.
Must be it.
Maybe that's why we stratified Fs so much. Do you have anything else to say about this episode?
I don't have anything else to say about Kamen Rider or the American school grading system, so we can move on.
We will move on to our news segment.
News! News, news, news! News that I thought was really big and then turned out to not be super big. Kamen Rider Wizard is airing on a certain channel in the U.S. and Canada, called TV Japan. It's like a premium cable thing that you get. And guess what? It's airing in Japanese with no subtitles, so I hope you know Japanese.
Why?
It's just
for Japanese-speaking people, I guess.
Yeah, TV Japan is probably just a thing you can buy if you speak Japanese and you want to watch some Japanese dramas.
I'm going to echo Liam's sentiment from Twitter. Out of all the series they could have chosen, they chose Wizard.
Yeah, I don't understand at all, really, why they picked that.
It doesn't make any sense. I can't think of any reason.
When it first came to my attention, a friend of ours, friend of the show, Graham, told us on Twitter, he said, oh, they're bringing Wizard stateside. And I was like, oh, shit, they're, like, adapting it? They're, like, gonna make, like, a Power Rangers-style thing? And then I found out, no, it's just fucking Wizard. I was like, well, why would you do that? Why? What would possess a man?
I don't know. It's like there are so many other choices.
I don't... It's, well, it's Wizard. It's coming... And the big thing was... Like, when I found that it was on a special channel, that's one thing. But when I found that it wasn't subbed, that's like... Oh. Okay. Well, it's not really, like, localized. It's
no,
just...
No. They're literally just playing it.
Just the Raws. This is what you get.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. So, still... watching it online with subs is still the best way. It's not like Amazon's where they're actually gonna put subs on it, I assume, but...
We assume.
We make great assumptions. That's happening. That's really neat, though. Wizard and Amazon's getting brought over.
Slowly. It's trickling over.
Trickling. Maybe if Wizard gets watched, we can see Gaim or...
it's a little weird. Shows. It's a little weird that Tokusatsu's taken so long. I actually think... Here's a little, like, sidebar, right? Here's a little topic delving.
Alright.
It's strange to me that Tokusatsu hasn't been brought over already in way, shape, or form in that way.
You get Power Rangers.
But that's not what I mean. Okay. I mean, like, anime gets brought over by the fucking boatload, right?
Yeah.
And has official subs. But not Tokusatsu. And you bring up exactly what my endpoint was going to be, is that it's fucking Chaim Saban's fault because of Power Rangers.
He owns the rights for all Sentai distribution, so...
Like, he brought it over here and he, like, bastardized it. Excuse me. I mean, Power Rangers has been good quite often. But he brought it over here and he changed it so entirely that that is the audience for it now. So there's no reason in, like, Toei's eyes... to just bring it over here with subs, because, you know, they can just sell it to Saban and make a ton of money and not even worry about it.
But they are bringing Sentai over with subs, like a season at a time. Shout Factory is doing that.
A little bit at a time.
They're doing a season, that's chugging through Sentai. But Kamen Rider, for some reason, never got a hold in the same, like, even when they did a Power Ranger-style adaptation with Masked Rider and with Dragon Knight.
Masked Rider was terrible,
Masked
and
Dragon
Knight
was fucking awful.
Barely serviceable.
Dragon Knight was as good as some Power Rangers shows.
True.
And it just never took hold. Like,
I feel like it was too late at that point.
Yeah, like, I've seen bits of Dragon Knight, and I didn't like it, but it had drama, and I can see why a kid might get into it. I could see why it might be successful, but yeah, it was kind of late in the
game.
It's
like the Power Rangers boom was over at that point. I mean... There's a Power Rangers movie right now, but it's like a nostalgia cash-in type of thing. I've heard it's actually pretty good, but...
It looked awful, but my friend saw it, and he said it was not half bad. He enjoyed it.
Everyone I talk to says that it's pretty decent, but it's like a nostalgia cash-in. It's meant to get, like, 20-somethings, 30-somethings into the movie theater seats. It's not really for kids in the same way.
Yeah, it's for people.
Because kids don't really watch Power Rangers in the droves that they used to back in the day. It's still a fairly popular series, enough to, like, keep an audience.
Yeah.
But the heyday of Power Rangers adaptations is over.
It's not the 90s anymore.
And even when Dragon Knight was airing, I think the heyday of Power Rangers adaptations was over.
Yeah, Dragon Knight was 2009. That was long after kids moved on. Iron Man was out by that point.
Wow.
It's a different world.
Dude, you want to know something that'll blow your mind?
Blow my mind.
In 2005.
Mm.
2005 doesn't seem like a lifetime ago, right?
No, not really.
You can remember where you were in 2005.
Yeah.
That is the year that Revenge of the Sith came out.
Oh my god.
I think about that all the fucking time. Anytime I feel old, I'm like, fucking Revenge of the Sith. Ugh.
Oh, Revenge of the Sith. Well, the least bad prequel came out in 2005.
Yeah. I don't know how much I agree with that, but...
Come on. Like, whatever you say about Revenge of the Sith, are you going to look me straight in my eye and tell me it's worse than Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones?
No, I'm not going to say it's worse than Phantom Menace. Phantom Menace is dog shit.
Phantom Menace is one of the worst films of all time.
They're all bad.
I always say, if you watch the original Star Wars trilogy, and you're absolutely dying for whatever reason to see how Anakin became Darth Vader, you can just watch Revenge of the Sith, really. Everything you need is there.
That's
true.
And it's
the least ball-numbing movie.
It's really funny how completely superfluous the first two prequels are.
Like, at the beginning of the movie, it's like, there's a war, and it sets up all the characters that you need, and all the shit that you need to know happens. So, the first two are fucking pointless.
Damn.
Yeah.
Another mark against those films.
Yep, one more. This is mark number 743,000.
Well, my tirade is over. We can continue with news.
I have a fun thing, actually.
Okay.
Or, yeah, this is, I guess, it's a question, but fuck it, we can do it now, since we're talking about adaptation.
Sure.
I was wondering a lot... Hmm?
There are no rules.
No rules. I was wondering what... Because I figured, what are they going to call it? They can't call it Masked Rider. It's fucking Japanese. But I thought for a minute that Adness might still have the copyright to Kamen Rider. I don't think they do. So I think they're just going to call it Kamen Rider Wizard. But here's my question for you, Jeff.
Okay.
Think of a Rider series, any Rider series.
Kamen Rider Blade.
Okay. If you had to bring Blade over to an American audience and change the title to be not Masked Rider, not Kamen Rider, just like a normal title like anything else, what would you call it?
52.
Oh, that's not bad. That's clever. I like that.
Or Ace of Spades.
Ace of Spades. Yeah. That sounds cool.
You could just call it Missing Ace, honestly.
You could, yeah. Missing Ace is not bad. 52 is really... 52 is a little... It's kids wouldn't get it. Maybe. No. It's too, like, cryptic for kids, but it's very clever. I like it. That's a good choice.
DC Comics might be really fucking pissed off about that.
Oh, yeah.
What about you? Pick one.
Oh, God. Off the top of my head, Ryuki, obviously.
Of course. And what would that be called? Vent?
No. What? That sounds dumb. Vent?
Vento?
No. That sounds even weirder.
The Kamen Rider Night Show?
You could call it Advent War. Or... Oh, jeez. 52, because everyone's got cards.
Oh my god. You should call it Tatakai.
I'd probably call it Advent War or something like that.
That's not bad.
It's not bad. It describes what the fuck it's about.
Rider Battle?
Now, Rider Battle sounds kind of cheesy.
Yeah, because it is.
Ryuki is not cheesy. The best rider show.
Ryuki has some cheese, don't pretend.
Yeah, okay, I mean, all riders got some cheese.
Yeah, Ryuki's a big juicy burger, but you better believe it's got some cheddar cheese on that shit.
One more news story. If you remember last week, there was a cryptic Denno announcement. They announced that there was an announcement coming for Denno.
Oh, I'm excited.
So, this week it was revealed that there is going to be a CSM Denno belt.
That was it?
Yeah, it's the 10th anniversary this year.
I was 100% certain it was going to be another movie.
Yeah, I thought it would be at least a V-Cinema or something, like Kamen Rider X8 meets Denno. Nope, you get the CSM belt. So if you got $6,000 to spare, and you love Denno, this is your year.
600 million yen.
16 quintillion. The entire fucking GDP of the U.S. to spare. You can buy this belt and have a great time.
It's probably a web exclusive, so you can't really.
You can buy this belt through a scalper on eBay for 6 times the price and have a whale of a time.
I want a CSM belt really badly, but I don't have a mortgage that'll allow such a thing.
If a genie appeared before me and said I can either cure cancer in all humans or give you a CSM Kabuto belt, I'd probably pick the Kabuto belt, in all honesty.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I think we always talk about how we've learned a little bit about Liam in this episode. And today I feel like we learned too much about Liam.
This was the kicker that brings it over the edge.
Yeah.
That's my news.
Moshi Moshi Fies.
Toys and a weird localization.
Moshi
yes.
Moshi Fies.
Moshi Moshi Fies. Ring, ring, ring. Phone call. This week on Kamen Rider Fies, a girl shows her panties to an underage boy who's like 8 years old.
That was so fucking awkward.
Okay, so this is a weird set of episodes that's about many things. Fies comes back. Takumi comes back. He decides he wants to... be a he good gets guy.
The power up. He gets red form.
He gets Blaster, which I fucking love, by the way. And he decides to come back. Sawada sacrifices himself to fight the Lucky Clover, who are just a bunch of clowns at this point. Kaido is still obsessed with this stupid child. And that's mostly the gist of it.
Osada gets, like, tracked down by the police.
Oh, yeah,
and
she gets arrested.
And murders an entire fucking platoon of police officers.
Delta
and everybody's like, why are you being so mean to her? She murdered an entire platoon of police officers!
So let's just get right into our opinions. These three episodes are weird.
They really are.
I don't like them.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
The best scene in the whole fucking show so far is Delta is being Delta. He's sitting on some steps with his friend. His girlfriend?
I guess. And he's like, I want to go home.
He's like, fuck, I haven't seen my own house in 6 months since I started being Delta. And he's like, if only I... And he throws the belt into the middle of traffic. And the girl's like, well, that certainly isn't in, like, a really heavy-duty reinforced suitcase. I better run out and grab it right in front of this truck that's not even about to run over because it's going to go between the wheels. And she runs out into traffic and gets hit by a truck.
She gets hit by a truck, and then she leaves the hospital later that day. Maybe it's because of the Orphanox Cybos or whatever.
Whatever.
And then he finds his resolve because it turns out he's in love with her, I guess.
He's like... This arc is so fucked up. He doesn't want to be Delta, so he throws the belt out on the street. But it's not like... It doesn't follow quite. It's not quite that him not wanting to be Delta has resulted in his friend getting hurt. It's more just like him being a fucking idiot and throwing the belt into traffic has resulted in his friend getting hurt. That wouldn't really change...
His friend got hurt because he's a giant fucking baby, right? And that's he's a giant fucking baby so because he won't use Delta. It connects if you look at it that way.
But the actual reason why she gets hurt is so dumb, I can't...
Everything related to Delta is so dumb. And the funniest part about that, right, is that he gets his resolve, and he's like, I will fight. And he transforms like a badass. And then he gets thoroughly fucking trashed by every enemy he fights.
Yep. That's the one... It's nice to know that no matter how Fize morphs and changes into a bad show as it goes on, it's nice that there's one constant, and that's Delta is always a piece of shit, asshole, idiot face who sucks all the fun at every scene he's in.
Like, he transforms like a badass twice in one episode.
Hmm.
Like, he's looking all powerful, he's Henshin transforms or whatever, and he gets slapped around, like, fucking my whole childhood. It's on the screen. And he just ends up on the ground. Then he gets up and transforms like a badass again.
Yeah, in the underpass, he gets his ass kicked by the Lucky Clover. And Fize appears and says, I'll fight with you guys. And they just get up and transform again. I get there's no reason why they wouldn't be able to. But, like, narratively, that's against the rules of Kamen Rider. If you get your ass kicked until you get knocked out of your transformation, you can't transform again for the rest of the scene. That's how it is.
But you can't, not in Fize.
If they just get up and transform again, that kind of ruins the intensity of a fight. The point is you're beaten and you're put into a vulnerable place. If you just get up and transform again, it kind of wrecks that narrative device.
You're not even hurt. You just get up and transform again.
Yeah, what the heck? That should be it for the scene.
And you mentioned Sawada, right? He, like, sacrificed himself by fighting the Lucky Clover, but he didn't. Kaiza shows up and murders him.
Yeah.
And then just leaves. And then, like, Takumi shows up and he's like, oh, you sacrificed yourself fighting the Lucky Clover. And he's like, bye, and dies. Like,
he's Takumi like, no, is
never
actually,
going to know. Fucking, Kaiza continues to be a fuckhole.
Kaiza continues to, that's one thing that I always will like. Kaiza continues to be a fuckhole, as I'm really glad Sawada is dead and gone. I hated him.
That's good.
I hated his guts. And not like Kaiza, where, like, I love to hate Kaiza. I like that he's this grimy asshole. I hate Sawada as a fictional character. I hate him being there. He ruins every fucking scene he touches. He's a nonsense asshole. And I'm glad he's gone.
I'm glad he's dead.
I'm happy.
Hojo gets a fun scene.
Oh, yeah.
He's been bullied by Kitazaki this whole time, and Kitazaki gets his shit wrecked. by Fi's blaster form.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're carrying him down the stairs, and Hojo just fucking drops him and starts laughing at him.
Yeah.
Oh, Hojo.
Hojo. God, I love him. See, there's a character that I love to hate. Hojo.
Hojo from Hojo. Agito?
Not this Hojo. Agito's
yeah,
Hojo.
Agito. See, I felt like I hated Kusaka when I saw him the first time, and I didn't even enjoy his character, but now I do.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I'd feel similarly about Hojo
maybe
if I went back and watched.
Yeah, he's like a bratty asshole, and it's really satisfying to watch. Like, eventually he kind of gets his. He doesn't die or anything, but there is a scene.
Yeah, he ends up with the girl at the end.
Yeah, but there
spoilers.
Is a scene. The girl he ends up with, he's like interrogating her, and she's like, I gotta go help launch G4 because Agito's in danger. I don't remember the exact context, and he's like keeping her there at the police station, and
yeah.
She just kicks him in the balls and runs out. That's a
and
satisfying
he,
little.
Then he falls in love with her,
and then he falls in love with her as men do.
He is that kind of guy.
That's how I met my third wife. She kicked me in the nuts. Got married the next day.
Yeah, whatever happened to her? I haven't seen her in a really long time.
She died in an unrelated accident. Anyways, let's move on. There's a scene in this episode of Kamen Rider. They're still doing the fucking thing where Kaido is obsessed with this stupid little kid, and it doesn't resolve this episode.
For all intents and purposes, aren't about Kaido and his weird obsession with a child.
Thank God.
It's about Osada.
And her weird obsession with a child.
Wait. Yeah, her weird obsession with showing her panties.
It's
the child.
There's a scene where Kaido's trying to calm the kid down because he's an angry kid and he's angry that Kaido didn't save his parents, and Osada's with them, and instead of Kaido's trying to give him a cookie or something, and he ignores Kaido and pulls Osada's skirt up. So later on, in a brilliant bit of a callback, he's freaking out again, and Osada calms him down by lifting up her skirt and showing him her underwear. It's a fucking 7-year-old kid.
And he's, like, staring out after her later, right? And she looks back at him and, like, smiles. And I was like, this is the creepiest shit I've ever seen. This is creepier than Kusaka in the rain scene.
This isn't Japan. This is something more sinister.
It's so weird. But Osada kills a bunch of police officers, and she gets taken in by the cops, and it turns out that they're doing weird-ass experiments underground.
Yeah, another Agito actor is back. Shoichi Sugami is back, the other one. He's here, and he's doing experiments to try and turn Orphanok back into people.
Only the Orphanok escapes with Osada, and, like, it seems like he's gonna be a cool new character or whatever, because he's, like, working as hard as he can to protect her.
Mm-hmm.
But the Riders show up, and he just runs off and fucking disintegrates into nothing.
The Riders are beating up the Orphanok, and then Fize jumps in and protects the Orphanok, and then the Orphanok just dies anyway. He just runs off and dies.
Yeah, he runs away, and he's like, oh, I'm so tired, and then he just fucking turns into dust. And it's like, what's the purpose of this scene anymore, right?
There's no one to protect. I thought it was a character we'd already seen. I was racking my brain, like, who is this fucker? And,
I thought he was gonna end up being really important. Like, they were gonna bring him into as the fourth guy on the Lucky Clover or something.
Nope.
But as it turns out, he literally has no name whatsoever and dies in the same episode he first appears in.
Unnamed Orphanok, number 63.
Sad story.
Sad story.
But the episode ends with Kiba is murdering cops now. He's like, fucking hate you pigs, fuck the police. He turns into a fucking horseman and starts killing them all.
Yeah.
Because he's like, what did you do to Osada? And I'm like, dude, she murdered like 35 men.
She's
police
killed
officers.
A lot of people since the start of the show. Lucky Clover is so desperate that they try and recruiter.
There's such a funny scene.
There's
where the CEO of Smart Brain is describing her, and he's like, her power is hidden below the surface, but she's killed so many and no one knows. And then he puts her photo down and he says, and she's a very cute young girl.
that last thing, the very cute young girl, that's the kicker. Now she can join.
Yeah.
If she was into some ugly dude or something, fuck, she's never joining Lucky Clover. But
she's a very cute young girl,
she's
and I'm
a very
like,
cute young girl.
So this show keeps telling me.
I have a couple things that I liked about this episode.
Okay.
Or these three episodes. I love Blaster.
I love Blaster's cool terrible shit. Special effects.
I love. Yeah, I mean, it's what, 2004 era special effects, but he's flying around. He's got a jetpack, and then when he puts it in, it's the coolest. I love Fize's belt sounds, but my favorite probably of all is when he puts his phone into the blaster square, whatever you want to call it, and it goes awakening. Like, that sounds so cool.
That is cool.
And then the fucking satellite like beams it down, like it was there since the start of the show. Like, just waiting for 50 episodes until it got the chance to beam this suit down onto this one guy. I don't know.
And it doesn't even beam a suit down, right? It just hits him with this energy, and then his suit fills up with red.
It beams like it's the okay signal. Yeah. It's weird how she gets it, though. She just kind of gets it in the mail. She gets Blaster Boat in the mail.
Yeah, somebody drops it off. A weird-looking guy drops it off. And I'm assuming that that's, like, her adoptive father, old CEO, the king.
Last we checked, he was still in the basement, right?
Yeah, I'm assuming he's the king anyway. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe he's the Orphanot King. For a minute, I thought the Orphanot King was the one that the police had in custody.
Yeah.
I was like, that's interesting.
That's what I was thinking, but no, he's nobody.
He seemed like he was clearly important, but no, he just busted out and died. Maybe he was the Orphanot King and their plans are just fucked now. Wouldn't that be funny?
Like, Osada being captured by the police is like, it seems like they were like, oh shit, yeah, we had her kill all those people. We should probably have something happen with her, right?
Because they haven't done anything with her in 63 years. I'm glad she's in the plot again. That's one thing I can say. She's doing things. That's fine.
She's not fucking following Kaido around going, I love you, Kaido. Kaido's like fucking like, hey, turn yourself in. I fucking hate you.
Kaido has made it so abundantly clear. She is an idiot to keep following him.
Also, like, no one has said Keitaro's name around her?
Keitaro's name has never been spoken.
Like, he goes by Keitaro. I understand her, right? They call her Osada-san or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And in her messages, she's Yuki.
Yeah.
But he's Keitaro. That's what everyone calls him.
Just no one happens to say it. Next episode, they're gonna figure it out, though. Finally.
Yeah.
There's a bit
That's something that, like, when he started texting Yuki-chan again, I was like, fuck, they remembered that?
My god, I didn't even remember that.
Neither did I.
He met his internet girlfriend.
Completely forgotten that shit.
She wasn't even ugly in the end. That's a pretty good score for him.
There's, like, fucking a moment where she's like, you know, just grab your crush's hand or whatever, and then he grabs her hand and no bells of recognition go off in her head whatsoever. She's just like, Keitaro, you're the fucking worst. I don't really know your names, but fucking whatever your name is, you're the worst.
Here's Osada. Is the best way to attract a girl is to grab her hand, and then someone grabs her hand and she goes, fuck, why would you do that? What the fuck are you trying to do?
That's so disgusting. What is your goddamn problem? You creep.
Yeah, you fuck ass. Piece of shit.
Train Keitaro wrong is a joke.
I'm really curious as to... That's one thing that's keeping me going. I'm curious as to what they're going to do when they figure it out. Because they're clearly not in love.
No.
But maybe they'll fall in love. Like, you're the man who's been sending me all these romantic messages all this time.
I don't know about all that. I think just going to be like, what?
Fize is like watching your favorite grandparent get Alzheimer's. It's like,
my god,
it was such a good show, and now it's like, I don't even know what it is anymore.
It's gotten pretty bad.
It's just forgotten everything about it. It's bloated with characters. The villains are a fucking joke. Even the other characters, the show just doesn't know what to do with any of them. Everyone's just puttering around waiting for the end.
Like, here's the thing, right? Is it like, Smart Brain has none of the belts now.
they're fucked.
Why are they acting like they're closer to their goal now?
I don't... They had all three of them at one point. They should be kicking themselves every day.
Yeah, they have none. Don't they need all three?
I don't know. I don't know anymore.
I don't know about this show, man. I feel like I might have been right when I said it was going to be bad.
I think people's opinions were right. Like, other Kamen Rider shows go downhill, right? Kabuto goes kind of downhill. But Kabuto, not even close to this shit.
True.
Like, Kabuto doesn't exactly stick its landing, but it has a satisfying ending. And Fize like, it never gets this bad. It's just, it gets kind of ridiculous, just with the Hopper Bros and some other stuff. The Dark Kitchen, but even that only lasts a couple episodes. This shit is like the entire show is breaking down at the seams.
It's just, I don't know. I don't know, dude. I don't fucking know.
No, well, only one way to find out.
We did see some cool behind-the-scenes stuff from Fize, though, that we didn't know about beforehand.
Yeah, this week I was browsing the Kamen Rider Wiki, as I do when I'm bored. And I found these three riders that only exist in concept art books that they never used. It's Kamen Rider Super Alpha or something like that. Who was it?
Neo Alpha. Pyron. And Kamen Rider Sita.
I like these three suits so much that I'll put them in the blog post just for you to look at. It's not news or anything. I just discovered them this week. I think everyone should see them, because I don't think a lot of people have seen them, because they haven't actually been in anything. They're really cool suits that didn't
get used. They are pretty damn cool.
Yeah, I think they were for stage shows that just never panned out. Because there is a Kamen Rider Alpha in a stage show. But, you know, there was no Neo Alpha.
Kamen Rider Pyron is fucking awesome. I love it.
Yeah, they all look so cool.
The other two are alright.
I like Neo Alpha a lot. That's the coolest one for me. It's his visor is like an alpha.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sick.
It's alright.
No, it's fucking sick.
Pyron's better.
He's okay.
Anyway,
that's
Sayonara Fize.
Sayonara, fuck you. You ruined like an hour of my life this week.
It's really not getting very good.
It's not that great.
It's going downhill at a pretty brisk pace.
I'll stand by the first half of this show. It's great.
Like after the first few episodes, maybe I'll stand by it. Episodes are. Oof.
That makes it so much worse, though. If it was just bad from the start, like Ghost, it's not like nothing's lost with Ghost. It just sucks from start to finish. But Fize has something special.
Comparing Fize to Ghost right now.
I know, but Fize had something special, and it loses it, which makes it way harder to watch.
Yeah. Oh well,
sayonara.
We also watched Kamen Rider Amazons this week.
Kamen Rider Amazons was is fucking exceptionally violent this week.
Oh yeah, a lot of blood. Somebody pointed out, I didn't notice this the first time, but Eu's father's played by Hojo.
Is that what Hojo is? I didn't notice. Yes.
Yeah, I didn't notice the first time. Somebody pointed it out on Twitter. I will actually look up the name of this person.
Okay.
So that I'm not just fucking being an asshole. It was Don Piantis.
Don Piantis. Okay.
Who told us that Hojo was Eu's dad. And you can fucking see it sometimes, and then other times, not at all.
They do him up really well. I couldn't tell it was Hojo at all.
He's just a lot older.
I'm kind of disappointed. I wanted him to be an actual... Imagine if he was a member of 4C... It was like a big dick.
The big reveal in this episode of Amazons is that Haruka's sister, his not real sister, so they can totally fuck.
Mizuki
is part of 4C, and she's like super ultra trained to kill Amazons.
And she says, "Yo, Haruka, if it ever comes to it, I'm gonna murder you."
And Haruka's like, "Cool,
that's fine. Yeah, I'm okay with that."
I want.
This episode was good. Haruka comes back, but he's not like a... I like when they do that. He's the main character of the first season, and now he's sort of this mysterious, powerful side entity.
Absolutely love that.
People treat him with this weird reverence, and he kicks ass whenever he's on screen. I like that. He's got mystery to him this time around.
It seems like he wants to kill Eu.
Yeah, he goes after her.
Chihiro tries to fight him off and everything, and eventually Mizuki shows up and is like, "I got this bullet that'll tear you limb from limb if I fire it into you." And Haruka's like, "Well, I'm gonna go home now."
Just coincidentally, I've decided that my soap operas are on, and I've decided to leave. Scared me.
You didn't make me. I chose to. We get a little bit of a revelation about Eu's past in that she knows Haruka.
Because Haruka killed her dad.
Yeah, Haruka killed her dad, and also he was friends with her dad beforehand.
Wowzers. So Eu has apparently is alive, and has, like, her... She's dead. She has all her memories. And it's not even that she doesn't have her emotions, it's just that she doesn't care. Tachibana words it in a really confusing way. Yeah, she's dead.
She's a corpse.
She's a corpse, but she has her memories.
Dude, there's a really great scene.
But she doesn't care. What?
There's a really great scene that I really, really enjoyed. My favorite scene in the episode, where Tachibana is explaining what Iyu is.
Mm.
And, Chihiro's like, you turned a human into an Amazon or whatever, and he's like, no, I'd never do something as crass and base as that. I have to protect human dignity. I just made an Amazon out of a corpse. I'm not as low as those people that make Amazons out of people. I'm better. And he walks off, and like, the assistant guy is like fucking chilled to the bone. And then he, like, turns and walks after him, and I was like, fuck, that was done really well.
It's good visual storytelling.
It was really good.
This show is, like, a step above a lot of Kamen Rider. It's a different level. It's just a lot more well-written and well-directed, and even the cinematography is better.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot more shaky cam this season, which I'm not really appreciating that much.
I'm fine with some shaky cam.
It's like a little out of control in some scenes, where I can't even really tell what's happening a little bit. But
the action scenes,
especially. It's never for more than a couple seconds, but
sometimes it'll be like a quick 1 second shot where the camera is shaking wildly and all you see is two people flailing around in a suit and you're not sure what's happening. I think maybe that's to hide, like, they can't see what they're doing and the choreography's a bit awkward, so make it not quite clear what's happening.
Maybe.
That's my guess.
We also get the return of the original hunting team, the original extermination squad, who go into the bar that the chief owns.
And the leader of Team Kiss joins them.
The fucking Team Kiss. I'm glad that we don't have to talk about Team Kiss anymore.
Yeah, once I learn the guy's name, I can stop calling him the leader of Team Kiss.
It's a fucking stupid-ass name.
Does he look a little bit like Yamato? Kazekiri Yamato to you? Yeah, I saw that too.
He does look a little bit like Yamato.
When I saw
him,
he
could be Yamato's cousin or something.
Yeah, when I saw him, I was like, oh my god, did they get him back like that soon to do another show? And I looked it up and no, it's not him. But
it is not him.
He does look kind of like him.
Chihiro looks nothing like the hospital kid from Kamen Rider the First, but he's dressed exactly like him.
Oh, with the scarf,
With the scarf, and he has, like, the same haircut. It's like he's cosplaying him. It's really strange.
What's worse, the character of the hospital kid, or someone who is dumb enough that they would actually cosplay the character of the hospital kid?
If you cosplay, spoilers, his, like, cobra form, that'd be cool as fuck.
Well, spoilers for Kamen Rider the First. Watch out there.
Yeah, Kamen Rider the Next. No, it is the first.
The first with the hospital
the next,
kid. Yeah.
The next is the one with the...
The next is the ring.
The far less good costumes, but better actors playing the villains.
Yeah.
Like, Scissors Jaguar is like the dumbest fucking costume, but I love that guy
so
much.
Oh, I love the actor. He's a joy to watch.
It's my favorite part of the movie. The action scenes and anytime Scissors Jaguar is ever doing anything.
Yeah.
It's 10 out of 10.
So one thing I really...
Oh, there's titties in that movie, too, so that's good.
Yeah, it's always good. That's an instant one-point bump up.
So it's 1 out of 10.
One thing I love about this episode, or more about next episode, is going to be Chihiro trying to go on a date with Iyu while she's not even cognizant of what's happening.
Yeah, like, he's real persistent for some reason. Like, she's completely blowing him off because she has no emotions and no thoughts of her own or anything. And he's just like, no, you fucking love you. We'll love you.
It's like trying to date a fridge. It's just not happening, dude.
He's dating a body pillow, basically.
I mean, people do it, but no one's going to look at you right.
Yeah, people, Liam. People.
I've seen a video where a dude does it, and boy.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, I bet it's a lot of fun.
So Amazons is consistently good, and I'm really excited. Still not as good as last season, but it can get there.
Yeah, I can see it getting there.
I wonder if Jin's going to come back.
Yeah, that's when Haruka comes back, that was the first question on my mind, is Jin back? Because he never gets a conclusion proper either.
Not really. He was pretty fucked up.
He was,
but
his face was pretty jacked up, yeah. But he never gets a... You never see what happens to him, what his fate
is. It'd be great if he was still alive, but he was, like, horribly fucking disfigured.
Like, yeah, he was, like, full on Amazon now, and...
That'd be great.
Yeah.
I do cool. really wonder what, like, Haruka and his crew have been up to. And next episode, Mamoru.
Yeah.
He's in the preview. I'm really excited about that shit, too.
It's gonna be nuts.
Real excited about it. So why don't we channel some of that excitement into answering some emails?
No, it's already gone. It's out of me.
We got two emails from Sam.
Sam, a prolific viewer.
You can thank Sam specifically since he sent an email to us that said, "Jeff, don't let Liam watch Go Rider. It has Blade spoilers."
Yeah, you sent me. Like, right after last week's episode, you sent me, "Hey, don't watch Go Rider. It's got bad Blade spoilers in it," I just realized. And I had it all downloaded, too, and I was going to watch it. And I was like, yo, thanks, dude.
Yeah. God, I almost let you.
Because I'm going to watch, you bitch. I'm going to watch Blade probably after we're done with Fies.
Dude, Blade's good. I like Blade a lot.
It looks super cool.
We already answered what our choices for, like, giving a show a rider... an Amazon treatment would be.
Yeah.
We've already talked about that. And he said, "P.S. If there is a dick measuring contest for how long fans have been around, I've been listening to RCR since Jeff did two 10-minute episodes talking about early Drive that were linked on the old Tumblr by himself."
Bullshit.
You cannot be serious that you saw you listened to the two lost episodes.
I didn't think we had a single fan who had found the lost episodes, but here he is.
He's
wow.
apparently been on board that long.
Holy shit.
That's fucking crazy.
That's Cocoa
Puffs. You win.
Yeah.
You win.
I'm gonna go to the dollar store tomorrow and get you a nice plastic karate trophy, and I'll mail that to you.
The second email from him, I'll go ahead and skip to that and come back, is, "Hey Jeff and Liam, it's Sam again. Do you think we're going to get any more villains before the end of X-Aid, like another Bugster that manages to take over a host? If so, what Bugster would you like to see become a recurring villain?"
Oh.
There are only, like, four Bugsters, right? Like, five, maybe?
There's one for each game, and I'd want to see, I don't remember the guy's name, but the Baxo Bike Bugster, the Racing Man.
Charlie Bugster.
Is that, I thought name. That was the Geki, or the Sportsman.
Maybe.
I think that was Charlie. I don't, the Baxo Bike one was named like Boozer or something dumb that had nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Brango. I don't remember his name. I want him because he provides an interesting thing. Imagine if just every five episodes it was like, you have to race me. And it was like a new race. Like
fucking
it'd be,
race episodes. That'd be awesome.
Like one underwater or one like through a construction site or like a twist on a race. Every so often he would appear. I would love that.
That would be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I want... I'm gonna have to agree with Sam. Like, I find that our listeners have really good ideas that I have when they ask me a question, and then they give it as an example every time.
And then you're like, no, I fucking thought of it first.
Like, he said, "Personally, I really want to see the Bugster for Dangerous Zombie, considering Parrot still has that Gashat."
Oh, he's asking what we want to see the Bugster for that we haven't seen yet.
It's like, what Bugster would you like to see become a recurring villain?
Okay.
He wants to see the Dangerous Zombie Gashat have a Bugster that becomes a recurring villain.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Especially if Dan's actor played him.
Oh my god.
That would be the coolest shit.
Maybe that's how he's gonna come back.
And about that revelation from Graphite, that he has Hero's girlfriend's memories...
Oh, yeah, because he killed her, yeah.
Yeah, do you think he's seen Hero's scalpel cut through anything more than once?
Is that, like, a euphemism?
Yes.
Do you think... Imagine having that. He's like, yeah, I was in Hero's girlfriend. I know all of her memories. There's some I prefer not to think about. Some I try to push deep to the... Maybe that's why he wants to kill Hero.
Maybe.
He's just fucking seen too much.
He sent us a little Japanese comic of, like, Graphite remembering stuff from Hiro's girlfriend's memory, and, like, them having sex was one of it, and then he wakes up from a horrible nightmare of it. Thanks for your emails, and thank you for saving Liam's precious spoilers.
Thank you. You helped me.
Our next email is from Zombeek.
Zombeek. I
like
that.
Hey lovers, got two questions / comments for you.
Okay.
I assume that's supposed to be hey lovers.
Hey, what?
I know you guys talk about OJ and the fact he eats shit in the novel, which always cracks me up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm quite surprised, though, that you hadn't brought this up with watching Fies. It says, and I quote, "The novel was very controversial in the Western Kamen Rider fandom due to the dark subject matter of rape. Said rape being inflicted upon Mari Sonata by Masato Kusaka. Because of this uncomfortable story element, fans in the Western regions has disavowed it as even part of the franchise and have lambasted Toshiki Inoue for writing it." I've actually brought that up like a dozen times.
Yeah, we've brought that up a couple times. Every now and again we talk about Kusaka and saying that we call him an attempted rapist. That's because we know about the Fies novelization.
And during the scene, any scene where he interacts with Mari that we talk about, I always talk about how he's a fucking rape man. Disgusting rape man.
It's not just because he acts rapey in the show, it's because he tried it in one alternate universe.
I think it was a long time ago, like when you first started talking about, like you brought up that fucking OJ ate shit.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about how Kaido's parents fucking murdered themselves to death. And I brought that up then. And I think we've mentioned it a few times since, but it has been a long time.
Yeah, it's been on here, but yeah, we are aware of hilarious novelizations. I've read some of the Kuga manga that came out, also written by Inoue. It came out just last year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the one boy, that has Agito in it eventually. Yeah.
God. Yeah, also, fucking Godai is like some weird ass scene alt kid.
Yeah, he's like a sort of like trendy punk with weird hair. He's kind of a dick.
He is kind of a dick in it. It's like Inoue was like, no character can be this good.
Yeah. He's got his grimy meat hooks in Kuga and he's got to ruin everything he touches.
Second, why do you think this type of ridiculous shit gets through on a children's show? I understand stuff like Amazon's, but if I was a little Satoshi in Japan, I would be renting out books related to shows from the library like I did as a kid. Then you'd be reading about rape and shit eating.
That's, honestly, I have no clue. Maybe I haven't read the books myself. Maybe the context, I don't know how you could fucking present that in any context that's good for kids, though. Because, like, even in Ryuki, Beyond Shit Eating, there's the scene with Ren and Yui being friends with benefits and fucking in the hospital room. Like, that's something that is not for kids.
No.
Even in Japan, where, like, they get slightly more mature content for kids, that's not for kids.
Like, fucking on top of your comatose girlfriend is not for children.
They climb into the hospital bed with her, they gotta move all the equipment and shit.
Oh my god. Also, they're called Hiroshis.
Little Hiroshis, not Satoshis, yeah. Get it right before
get
you
get it right or pay the price.
God, I'm tired of these fake Rider Club radio fans thinking they know anything.
That's all we have, fake Rider Club radio fans. Thanks for answering my question. I'll email back when I feel like correcting you two on all the mistakes you make on the regular. Kisses and hugs, Zombeek.
Team kisses.
The best part about, like, all the people who correct us is that we're not going to correct it. It's completely pointless. Our next email...
Oh, boy.
...is from Jake the Snake.
Okay.
Who Long-time says...
writer.
Hey, guys. With this week's episode, I really appreciate that they shed some more light on the fact that Poppy took someone's life to exist, like Graphite.
Mm-hmm.
What's set up at the end really has me pumped for next week, and this isn't related to the episode directly, but I can't believe I didn't notice the detail sooner. Even though Dan got a game over, the level 1 Genmu is still on the preview blocks.
Is he?
Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun. And remember, he never got the flowers.
Yup. Questions. One, if you guys had to work for one of the Heisei organizations, like Smart Brain, Zect, Yggdrasil, etc., as a regular employee for a year or two, which would you pick and why? No idea what kind of grunt work it involved, but I'd pick the Kogami Foundation from O's, because at least my boss would be guaranteed to remember my birthday, and maybe I'd get a free cake that day, too. There's no maybe about it. You'd get a free cake.
Oh, for sure.
What about, what would you work for? You'd be a Zect man?
No, fuck that. That's extremely dangerous. You work at Zect, literally any of your coworkers could be an alien trying to kill you.
That's true.
You work at Smart Brain, you have a pretty good chance of just getting called into the president's office and murdered to make an example.
True.
And also there's an orphanage living beneath, there's a school under, I don't want to work for Smart Brain.
So who do you work for?
You work for Read to Show the End of the World's Coming. I don't have an answer.
I work for Foundation X because they just don't do anything anymore. Sounds awesome.
You know what? They probably dissolved and you lose your job if you work for Foundation X.
Well, the Foundation X is apparently coming back at some point. It's been teased, so...
Oh, that's true. Yeah, in the Brave
thing. So they're still around.
God, I would work for...
yeah, I would work for Foundation X.
I would work for... Oh my god.
Dude, if you want some, like, 100% job security, just work for Heisei's version of Shocker. No matter whatever happens, you show up in every fucking crossover forever.
That's true. I would work for, actually, Genmu Corporation.
Yeah.
Things seem to, I mean, other than that
the
one
The building
time,
gets attacked all the time.
Here's the thing, though. The public, the government cannot shut you down as long as there's a chance that those dead ride players can be brought back. You have job security.
I guess that's true.
So you get to just make games all you want.
You have to get sexually harassed by Fat Dan every day, though.
That's, I'm sure that can... The lawsuit will be worth it, eventually. The 60 trillion yen lawsuit.
I don't know if you can sue a bugster. I don't know if they're, like, a citizen.
You know, I'll use the bugster from Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney, and he'll sue him for me.
I would love to see somebody do, like, a series of drawings of, like... bugsters from real games, look like. That would be so cool.
I mean, the thing is that, like, bugsters are supposed to be characters from the game, just become real.
I guess that's true. Maybe, like, the bugster for Phoenix Wright would be the Steel
Edgeworth.
Samurai.
Oh, Steel Samurai, yeah.
That may make no sense whatsoever, though.
Who cares? Just any character.
It'd be the judge.
The idiot judge.
The surprised-ass judge. Who just... I guess he just hates Phoenix Wright's guts, since he's always trying as hard as he can to undermine him.
He's just dumb and really easily swayed. Like, he's the kind of guy who... The evidence could be so obvious, but then the prosecutor's like, yeah, but what if this happened? That's really unlikely.
And
the judge is like,
oh my god, what if that did happen?
Yeah, you might be right, dude. Jesus. Yeah, we're gonna have to keep this trial going for 16 more days.
So, alright, I would work for Foundation X, and Liam would work for Genmu Corporation.
Yeah.
Question 2, got any favorites among the bikes/ride machines in Fize? I'm a fan of Delta's Jet Sliger. He knows that Fize has one too, but he associates it with Delta more.
Well, yeah, Fize was just a one-off.
Yeah, between having missiles as the main weapon, cool design, I end up always remembering its passcode since I think 3821 is supposed to spell out Delta on the phone keypad. I don't think that's true.
But Delta's five letters.
Yeah. I don't know. Auto Vigen.
You like that? I was going to say Kaiza's the most.
I think Kaiza's looks dumb. I think Jet Sliger looks dumb, honestly.
I like Jet Sliger as well.
I like Jet Sliger more than the sidecar bike.
I like the sidecar bike.
I think Jet Sliger would look fucking awesome, like, rocketing across a desert wasteland.
Oh, yeah.
But as it is, it just kind of looks silly, being made out of CG.
I like the sidecar bike. I like that it turns into the robot from RoboCop that shoots you.
Ed 209.
Yeah, it looks like Ed 209 when it turns into combat mode.
It kind of does.
I like it.
But it looks like really terrible Ed 209.
Like awful, like Ed 209 if he was from a Japanese TV show from 2004.
True.
Yeah.
the ones made out of, like, CG are dumb. I mean, Otto Vigen becomes a CG robot or whatever, but I love the idea that, like, Fives has a sidekick.
Well, he's a CG when he changes, but when he's actually in the form, he's just a dude in a suit. It's not CG.
Yeah.
He's the man. Yeah.
But, like, I love that Fives has a sidekick.
Yeah.
I think that's the coolest shit. Like, sidekicks are super underutilized in Japanese media.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's a sidekick who just opens fire on the hero when he's fighting, but whatever. He's still my favorite.
In Betrayed War Genesis, when you go into a level, you pick two guys. You pick a rider, and then you pick an assist.
Mm-hmm.
And the assist can be any rider, but there's also a number of characters that are just assists. And Otto Vigen is one of them.
That's awesome.
You can be Ryuki, and you can bring Otto Vigen in with you, and he'll assist you.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, well, it's a crossover. Nothing makes sense.
Yeah.
Dino Train.
Just like the movies.
Yeah.
Thanks, and looking forward to the next episode, as always, Jake the Snake.
Thanks.
Our next email...
You know what I noticed about Fives while we're talking about Fives logistics?
What's that?
Takumi has his own phone, but when he has the Fives belt, he just uses the Fives phone as a phone. Did he just throw his phone away?
He doesn't use the Fives belt as a phone. That's something I specifically took note of, because Kusaka does all the time.
I swear to God, I've seen him use it at least once as a phone.
Maybe.
At least once he's used it.
Maybe.
Not recently, though.
I didn't, like, take stock of that, but, like, I constantly see him use a regular-ass Motorola phone, and fucking Kusaka pulls out this big hunk of plastic and flips it open every time he needs to use the phone.
What network? Is it on AT&T or Verizon?
I don't know. You think SmartBrain would have shut down the fucking cell service by now or something? They're still footing the bill.
They're like, maybe that's why they want the belts back so bad. They're like, God, they were paying like $60 a month for each of these fucking phones. Get it off
fucking,
of
them. Fucking calling long distance to goddamn satellites.
You know how much it costs to beam down the fucking blaster suit?
Our next email.
GDP, yeah, go.
Is from Edgar, who says, "Hey RCR, you guys watched the trailer for that Kamen Rider Laser special? Boy, does X8's form look like complete diarrhea."
I saw X8's form. He gets like a... It's like X8 and Giri Giri Chanbara.
Yeah. It's like yellow X8. Ugly.
Yeah, it's like X8 with a mustard yellow. Ooh.
Anyway, on to my question. Do you guys feel like the proto-Gashats are being underutilized? I was hoping they would be used as evil riders by the game bugsters, but now they're being used as promos to buy shit I don't wanna. Anyways, good podcast as always. Next week will be a fucking doozy. Also, every time he wrote Gashats, he wrote it as Gashits. I'm sure that was on purpose.
Okay. Make sure you specify.
I just thought I would specify for everyone.
Proto-Gashats are dumb.
Well, they could have been not dumb.
They could have been not dumb if they had actually used them. But yeah, as they are now, they do feel like cheap cash grabs. Like, here, buy Tattle Quest. Now buy Black and White Tattle Quest. Do you feel fulfilled yet?
It is stupid. It's their entire purpose was to be a collectible item. They appear in the show, so if you want everything from the show, you gotta get it.
Barely. The only one that really has any usage in the show is Proto Mighty Action X, because that's Genmu. But fucking all the others, I mean, they get that one scene when Dan opens a suitcase. I think that's the only time you see most of them. I think there was Proto Dragon Hunter in one episode.
Yeah, Dragonite Hunter, like, doesn't Graphite use that one?
Yeah, Graphite uses Dragonite Hunter, yeah.
Yeah, fucking useless.
Useless is what they are. Yeah, I agree. It should have been used more, but even if they were used in the show, I think they'd still feel like cash grabs to me. Because they're just black and white versions of the regular toys.
Oh my god. It's so fucking, like... You can't get mad at Toei, right?
No, that's
this
just...
This is what Toei does.
Those lovable scamps trying, like, to steal money from kids.
They make money. They want their money. Mm. They want their money back.
All that money back. All my money.
They want all that money.
All that money.
And it's a business. You can't fucking get mad at them, but goddamn are they skeevy with this shit.
That's what they do. That's how they be. That's how they live.
It just makes me not want to buy anything from them, but then they show cool toys, and I'm like, well, I guess I could fucking buy that.
Yeah, we're the suckers in the end.
Yeah, I actually don't buy that much Kamen Rider merchandise, I realized.
Lately, I haven't been buying much either.
Like, the last thing I bought for myself was the Braves Gachette. Mm. That's the last thing I bought.
Yeah.
And before that, it might have honestly been, like, the Gachette I bought for you.
Oh, the Snipe Bang Bang?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If I'm being honest, if I could find an affordable Fize phone, I'd probably buy it, but it doesn't exist, so...
Yeah, I would, too. I'd love to hear them sounds, press the buttons and hear the sounds.
Yeah.
They made a CSM Fize driver, didn't they?
Just recently, yeah, and if you are in possession of the modest price of $500, it can be yours on eBay, because it's not being sold officially anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't... The thing about it is, right, is, like, it would be really awesome to have this type of stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I could save up enough money for it if I really wanted to. But then I think, like, if I save up a bunch of money and buy, like, a really, like, a new video game system or a new gaming computer, then I can use that for ages.
Yeah.
And get tons of enjoyment in different ways out of it. If I spend $500 on this belt... I can press buttons and make sounds.
It's a display piece. A day or two. More than anything else, yeah.
Yeah. That's the only reason why I haven't fucking spent my entire paycheck on something.
It's not that I don't have the money, it's that it's not fucking worth $500.
Yeah, exactly. It's worth like 60, 70.
50 or 60, yeah, for something like that. Hell, if I could find the DX version, I'd get that, but it doesn't exist anymore.
No. It wouldn't fit around your bulbous-ass adult waist anyway.
That's true. That's true.
You gotta be a slim, svelte 8-year-old to be able to fit it correctly.
I'm a pretty slim guy, but I'm not 8. So.
Whatever, fucking fat ass.
I'm not a fat ass.
Yeah, whatever, pudgy. Mm. You know what? I feel like we've reached the end of Rider Club Radio episode whatever number this is.
114, I want to say?
And I would like to take this time to thank you, the listener, for putting up with this podcast week after week after week after week after week after week after week.
And if you want to thank us for thanking you, you can follow us on Twitter, at Rider Club Radio.
If you have a fun type question that you would like to ask us about anything, doesn't have to be Kamen Rider, doesn't even have to be Tokusatsu... It doesn't even have to be Japanese. It can be anything.
Ask us our favorite Simpsons episode. Fuck it.
It's the Frank Grimes episode.
I was going to say monorail, but yeah, it's a good choice too.
Just send us in an email at riderclubradio@gmail.com and we'll answer it on the air more than likely.
More than likely. And more likely than not.
We'll all have a good time. We'll all have a good time together.
So, that having been said, see you next week.
We will see you next week at this same web location.
Same ride time, same ride channel.
Bye, everybody.
Later.